The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Becker on Darren Donick and Chase on this Wednesday. ESPN 102.5 The Game. One thing that's come out of us doing these shows from our homes for 2+ months is just some of the incredible interviews we've been able to get and have with the likes of David Price and Mookie Betts and Tony Kemp, and of course our buddy Tim Corbin over on West End, some of these former Vanderbilt players and guys that are in the big leagues, and Matt Beatty with the Dodgers. We've really enjoyed a lot of these interviews, and along that theme of baseball, Tim Kirchen is on the line with us, covers baseball, baseball insider for ESPN. He now joins us. Tim, how you doing?
I'm well, fellas. How you doing?
We're hanging in there, a little quarantine life in Nashville. How's staying safe? How's quarantine life for you?
Well, spent a lot of time in my office. I haven't been to a major league park in like 10 weeks, which is way too long. But I'm really busy. I took on this writing assignment, volunteered to do this date in baseball history every day, something different in order until we start to play again. It's been way more work than I thought it would be, but it's been great fun for me to kind of bring back some of the stories that I've pretty much collected over the last 45 years or so. So all is good.
That is fantastic. We have admitted on the show that we have been watching baseball in Taiwan, and we've been watching the Korean Baseball League on ESPN. And we've picked our teams, and we're having a little bit of fun with it. But how much do you think Major League Baseball is looking at this and observing and trying to figure out their best course of action to maybe start up a season?
Well, they should be watching. They should be watching every inning of every game. Somebody should be doing that. I did the game this morning, or at least filled in a segment or two this morning, and this could become a roadmap for how baseball, Major League Baseball, is going to look when or if it comes back. I don't see any way early on, at least, we're going to have any fans in the stands. So Major League Baseball can learn this and see, you know, what kind of ratings we get, what kind of interest there is, how the players conduct themselves, how things work in and outside of the ballpark. Because, again, I think this is where this is going. I covered that 2015 fanless game in Baltimore, and it was the strangest game I've ever covered, of course. And if they're all going to be like that, we need to get acclimated to it. The best way to do that is to watch these games in South Korea and at least get an idea this is what it's like when there are no fans in the stands.
By the way, our buddy Caleb Joseph, who lives in Nashville, was the star of that game, who got a lot of viral attention, the video of him saluting the fans and doing a lot of handshakes and signing autographs leading up to that game.
Yeah, and if I may, Caleb Joseph told me after that game, I covered that game, he said he was behind the plate catching a major league game, and he could hear the announcements being made in the press box. Attention press, you know, that was Chris Davis's first home run in the first inning this year, and he's back there thinking, wow, that's pretty cool. I didn't realize that. And he could hear everything that's being said while he was catching a major league game. And that might be what we all better get used to if this indeed happens.
In fact, that just happened in the UFC, who put on an event. Of course, ESPN was carrying the prelims, and a fighter said he could hear the commentators and actually was listening. In fact, Greg Hardy, who used to play in the NFL, was listening to some of the commentary, and it was helping him during the fight because he could hear everything they were saying during the course of the fight.
Yeah, and Buck Showalter, the Oriole manager, told me that day. He said, "We didn't even need the bullpen phone. I just stood on the top step of the dugout and yelled, 'You better get Britton up.'" That's how quiet it was in that ballpark.
I was covering the Cleveland Indians in 94 and 95. 94 was the first year at then Jacobs Field. And then I moved here first day in Nashville was January 1, 1998. Huge baseball fans on this show. We talked about this a lot yesterday on the show, Tim, that baseball better be careful because Willie was in the minors on the show, some of it in the 90s, and then started off his radio career. They had a problem that decade, baseball did, a problem with what was going on and stoppages, work stoppages and trying to get fans back. And it's been a long time since we've had those discussions, but, Tim, we said yesterday on the show, they need to be real careful how they handle this publicly, because in these times, during a pandemic, people don't want to hear people squabbling about money. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I totally agree. If they say avoid all the obstacles, quarantine, testing, realignment, scheduling, universal DH, just keep naming them. And, of course, just staying healthy. If they can avoid all of that and get to a point where they're going to actually be in a position to play, and then they say, well, we're not going to play because the finances and the compensation is not correct here, that's really going to go over poorly, especially now. But baseball, I've been told by a few people who would know, they're going to figure this out. They have to figure this out because they recognize that anything is better than nothing. And they might have the entire landscape, to the sporting landscape, to themselves for maybe even a month and a half. It would be a wonderful opportunity to get people interested in baseball again. But if they decide not to play because there isn't an equitable split on the money, look, they're just going to have to make an adjustment like everyone else is and say, this is a bizarre season. It'll never happen again. We have to be flexible or else we're not going to play at all.
We're talking to Tim Kirkjian from ESPN covering baseball. And, Tim, we have really enjoyed the memory lane you have us walking down. I love watching the old games. I love the Kirkjian baseball fix that you have every day. It's been a fun time if you're a baseball historian. I know we're all chomping at the bit to get some more live new sports, but it has been an interesting time. Have you enjoyed going back and doing some of these pieces?
Yeah, I really have enjoyed it because I've learned an awful lot. And every day I get to a new day and look at what happened on this date. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head that, say, Willie Mays was born on May the 6th. I knew it was somewhere around there, but I get to May the 6th and I go, oh, my goodness, Willie Mays was born on this day. You know, I know him. I have many stories about him. I can write about him today. And then the next day, something else comes up, jogs my memory about, oh, yeah, how about that game when Tippy Martinez picked off three batters in one game? That's what excites me, is I get to something and I say, yes, I can write a story about that. I have stuff on that game. And if I don't, or on that person, I just pick up the phone and call somebody. But for the most part, I've really enjoyed every second of this. And all I did it for was to put a smile on the face of a few baseball fans who don't have much to smile about right now.
Yeah, well, we've been smiling. By the way, speaking of history, Tim, I still say probably the greatest pickup basketball game of all time is when you joined us. You were covering the baseball winter meetings at Opryland Hotel. You were looking to get out of there, of that city within a city, and come over and play at Memorial Gym with us. And so I'm wondering if you had a chance to get out and shoot the basketball at all? Are you staying active?
Well, first off, that day playing on the stage like that with the raised floor was tremendous. And the winter meetings are so difficult to cover that when you get a chance to go out and get some real exercise and have a real competition, it was tremendous fun. And yesterday, I just decided I'm tired of running around in a circle or running the streets, so I'm going to go shoot some hoops. And yet yesterday, the wind was howling, and I went to this store court which has the double rims, which are so tight, if you don't swish it, it's not going in, you know, those metal nets, and a howling wind. So after about 10 minutes, I took like a 12-footer and shot an air ball, because the wind swept it away, and I said, all right, that's enough. If I can't hit the rim from 12 feet, it's time to go home.
Oh, man, that is psychological as much as anything else, too, trying to shoot on that double rim, even if there's no wind. That's a tough one for sure.
Right.
Tim, let me hit you with one. We have enjoyed having conversations that sometimes you forget about certain guys over a period of time. The Kerry Wood 20 strikeout game came up. It was on MLB Network. They showed the whole game. You have a piece on it yourself. And you're reminded of players like that who hit the highest of highs, just not for a long, long period of time, or they couldn't repeat it over the long period of time. It kind of makes you appreciate the guys who do have the longevity, you know, who are remembered because of milestones they hit, even though maybe they weren't spectacular like somebody like a Kerry Wood or a Dwight Gooden.
Yeah, and I put a lot of emphasis as I vote for the Hall of Fame on longevity and durability and showing up every day. A lot of people say, oh, that guy can't be in the Hall of Fame. He's just a compiler. Well, he was good enough to start, play every day for his team for 20 years, whoever you're talking about. Or if you're talking about Phil Negro or Don Sutton, to make that many starts, win that many games, go to the post that many times without anyone worrying, can he make it today? Is he hurt? I put a lot of emphasis on that. But there are even more like Kerry Wood and Dwight Gooden, who in their early 20s were as good a pitcher as I'd ever seen. Kerry Wood was unhittable as a 20-year-old, and so was Dwight Gooden. But it just shows you how difficult the game is to play, that if you don't keep up your skills, it'll go away. And just as important, if you get hurt, this is not the game that you come back from and really play it well after you've been hurt. And it's so easy to get hurt playing the game of baseball, especially when you're throwing a baseball like Kerry Wood did for that long.
Another angle that you've hit on, not only, you know, remembering great players, but also the characters of the game, the ones that sort of add that flair that help us enjoy the game more, especially in baseball, that daily interaction. Who are some of the favorite people that you covered, that you always look forward to having conversations with?
Well, I just wrote about Tony Gwynn the other day. And with Tony Gwynn, one of the great hitters of all time, you just sit down and you start to talk to him, and it's no longer a question and answer period with me as the reporter and him being interviewed. It becomes a discussion. And that's how great Tony Gwynn was all of those years. And just in a regular conversation, he showed me his bat once, and he said, I used this bat here, and it was broken at the time, but he said, I used one bat for the entire 1994 season, the year he hit .394. He said, I only held it out against really tough left-handers like Jeff Fassero because I didn't want to break it because it was my bat, and he barreled it so many times that year, he only went through one bat the entire season. Pete Incaviglia told me once he broke 12 dozen bats in one year, 144. Gwynn went through an entire season basically using one bat. And then he told me, he said, I broke that bat the following spring training on a backfield taking BP against Rob Picciolo, one of the Padres' coaches. And Tony looked at me and said, I almost started to cry, and Picciolo told me later, he said, so did I. Those are the characters in the game, and those are the stories that I love to tell, especially at a time where there are no stories to tell.
Can you believe next month is going to be 6 years since we lost him? It's hard to believe it's already been 6 years.
Yeah, and they don't make him like him anymore. And it worries me a little bit to go off script a little bit here, fellas. A few years ago, a team hired a rocket scientist to do evaluations of players, especially on exit velocity. And he came back with his findings, and among his findings were Tony Gwynn wasn't a great hitter. He was a lucky hitter because his exit velocity wasn't up there with the best hitters of the time. And this is what worries me so much about baseball. We have somebody doing something like that without understanding at all what a magician Tony Gwynn was at the plate, and to not appreciate that he could hit a hard ground ball between shortstop and third base almost any time he wanted because he was so good. And yet he was being graded back then based on exit velocity. That's a mistake when we start looking at only things like that.
Wow. Tim, Willie and I got to know his son when he played for the Sounds here in Nashville. By the way, sounded, if you close your eyes, you would think that you were talking to his dad. It was unbelievable.
No question.
Yeah, so Tony Gwynn Jr., I saw him at the Hall of Fame when his dad was being inducted. I saw him on the morning of the induction, and Tony Gwynn Jr. looked at me and he said, "My dad needs a beer. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning, and he's so nervous about making a speech, he needs a beer." And then Tony Gwynn Jr. looks at me and goes, "My dad doesn't drink." So he was going to have, like, his first beer on the day he was being inducted. That's how nervous he was about that. He wasn't nervous facing Randy Johnson or Greg Maddux. He was nervous about speaking, and, of course, typical Tony Gwynn, he went up there and crushed it, which is not surprising at all.
I think Junior's doing Afternoon Drive Sports Talk Radio in San Diego. I think that's right.
Yeah,
he does some Padres games
with
too.
Him. I've done a few shows with him, and it's quite a thrill to talk to the son of Tony Gwynn, who I admire so much.
Tim Kirkjian is with us from ESPN here on Darren Donick and Chase, and as we continue the memory lane talk, you know, growing up in Nashville, the closest team was the Atlanta Braves, and as a kid, I got to witness, you know, the Maddux and Smoltz and Glavine, the big three. And so I've had fun over the last few weeks of watching some of those games from the 90s, including last night, the 95 NLCS, where they completed the sweep of the Cincinnati Reds. What was it about those three that just made them stand out from everyone else and be quite possibly the greatest trio of pitchers in the history of baseball?
Well, they all had great talent. I mean, Smoltz through mid-90s with a devastating slider. Glavine had such great command of the strike zone. And Greg Maddux is arguably the best pitcher any of us has ever seen. That's how good he was in career value. But they were all athletic. They were all wildly competitive. And even though they were best friends and teammates, they were always competing with themselves. So Maddux tells this story well. I got this out of Maddux. I'm not the only one. He says to Bobby Cox in a playoff game, Bobby comes to take him out. Big spot, seventh inning, big spot. And he's coming to take him out. And Maddux goes, "You can't take me out, Bobby. You can take me out after this hitter, but I got this guy. He's going to foul out to the third baseman on the first pitch." So Bobby Cox, who trusted his guy, leaves Maddux in the game, and on the first pitch, the guy pops out to Chipper Jones at third, who was like 2 inches in fair territory. And his teammates, Maddux's teammates, gave him a hard time and said, "Wait a second, you said he was going to foul out on the first pitch to the third baseman. Chipper was in fair territory." That's how much of an artist Greg Maddux was. Is he knew exactly what was going to happen before it happened, because he was just smarter than everyone else.
Is there I'm doing a thing with Tom Glavine on Friday night and really excited about it. Is there a Tom Glavine story that comes to mind or that's top of mind?
Well, I need to be serious about this because now it's important. In 2002, when there was another work stoppage ahead potentially, and Tom Glavine won't take much credit for this, but he stood up and said, "Look, we can't do this again. We can't stop playing again. We can't do this to the game. We can't do this to the fans. We have to find a way to get an agreement, because he had been through work stoppages before. He saw the damage and the danger involved, and he stepped forward. And this is my concern now, fellas. I'm just not sure we have any Tom Glavins out there who have lived through a very difficult work stoppage of any kind, and therefore can tell everyone, be careful what we're getting into here. To me, beyond all the greatness of Tom Glavin was his ability and his need to step forward and say, look, we cannot stop playing. We have to somehow come to an agreement. That's how I'll always remember Tom Glavin.
Before we let you go, with all of that said, knowing the proposal that's out there, the conversations that could take place between the league and the PA, gut feeling for you, how long do you think that this process actually takes for them to get an agreement in place to have to return to play?
I the answer is I don't know, and neither does anybody else. I think it's going to take 2 more weeks before we come up with a real 10 days, let's say, to come up with a real plan that we can put into practice, and then hope that nothing enormous gets in the way, like, worse pandemic, worse numbers coming back, more people getting sick and dying. So I'm thinking and I'm hoping 10 days this can be done. That'll give them enough time in theory to get spring training started, maybe June the 10th and maybe start the season July the 4th, as we've seen. But there's still so much work that has to be done.
Tim, can you give us the secret to CC Sabathia's quarantine body? What the heck's going on with him, man? He's ripped.
Yeah, well, he lost a lot of weight at one point in his career, and he didn't pitch very well. He told me, he said, you know what? I think I'm better when I'm bigger. I'm more comfortable in this body when it's been this way my whole life, and he's figured it out. So good for him for whatever he's doing. And never forget, for all non-baseball fans, CC Sabathia, great athlete, great basketball player, really good football player, could have played any sport he wanted. He doesn't look like a great athlete, but he is. And, of course, a potential Hall of Fame pitcher someday.
Yep. I've used the same line in radio. I'm just better, bigger in radio. Tim, really appreciate the visit. Great stuff. As always, it's always good to talk to you. Continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, guys. See you.
All right. That is Tim Kirchen, baseball insider for ESPN. And he has got a story for everything. You just wind him up, you throw out a subject matter, and let him go. He's going to hit it out of the park. Good stuff from him. We appreciate the visit. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.